Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Caller analyst, Jeff Lagerman. And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, here we go on an hour-long adventure into the National Football League with you, Brian Sexton, joined by Jeff Lagerman. Joe Fortunato's here. It's a quiet studio this evening. John Osher is out and about. Somebody release him for a little vacation time? Is that what this
is?
Good for him.
Spend a little time with family. That's a good thing.
He needs it, for sure. And the sun is out. Thank goodness. Thinking about all of our friends all over town, especially those folks down in Clay County.
I was thinking about building a boat, you know, like the Ark II or something.
That's
it was
epic.
I mean, you know, fortunately we didn't have rain all day. I mean, there are stretches over there in the panhandle of Florida that, holy cow.
They're really underwater.
And then yesterday we didn't have rain for the most part all day until it's like 4 o'clock. And then 4 o'clock came, and it was like...
Someone unzipped the sky.
And you're like, oh, my gosh, is it ever going to end? And I guess it did at some time in the middle of the night when I was asleep. And,
yeah. Did you hear about the sinkholes over there on State Road, 218? That had a whole neighborhood trapped in?
I believe it.
Oh, man.
I believe it. You know, and it's amazing that we haven't seen, you know, more damage than what we've seen so far. But the good thing is that, holy cow, we've been dry for so long. Oh, yeah. You know, you drive around and you see retention ponds, and that's just an indicator of what the lakes and our rivers and streams have looked like for a number of years. And so, I mean, we need the water, you know. And I guess, you know, everybody was saying, you know, you can stop praying for rain now.
Yeah, exactly. If you did, you can stop now.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely got a bunch of rain. So, I mean, it's a good thing.
And the people out in Colorado would certainly trade places now, wouldn't they?
Yeah, big time.
We're just looking at photos on Drudge. And holy cow,
a lot of homes,
side of a mountain.
A lot of homes, and then, you know, there's a lot of firefighters from our area over there fighting their fires.
Absolutely. God
you know,
bless
because
those
they
folks.
Came and have come here to help us here in the state of Florida and Georgia. And so, you know, hopefully they'll all be safe and return home safely because that is some wicked fires going on in Colorado.
Lots of people to keep in your thoughts and prayers, folks, right now. Thankfully, the sun is out, and we're certainly excited about that.
We've got a little wind to kind of dry things out.
I hope so.
You know, enjoy today because I guess the heater is turned on in the next couple days.
Oh, yeah, hot. The kind of day where you jump into the river instead of just throw a fishing pole in it, I'm sure.
Yeah, and things have been hot in Colorado. You know, what, 105, 110? And
you know, I got family not far from there in Kansas, and they have said it is an absolute oven, 109 degrees.
And this is my little segue here, and the Jaguars' hot topic has been Maurice Jones-Drew, and the hot topic was out there in Colorado.
Yeah. He just can't stay away from the headlines. And certainly that's his personality. He's been the headline maker for this franchise for a couple of years. Certainly was the guy last year. But across the front of the Florida Times-Union this morning, you know, above the fold, that premium position, Maurice Jones-Drew talking about Emmitt Smith's record.
Well, and I always kind of – look, hey, look, I respect Vito Stellino. But, you know, and I respect all sports writers. I mean, they do a good job. Now, there are a few of them.
That
I don't have a whole lot of respect for.
Okay.
But for the most part, they try to get it right. But you always want to hear the words coming out of the person's mouth because, you know, you want to see the context that it was spoken in.
Sure.
And so we went, and the master, Joe Fortunato, pulled up Maurice Jones-Drew, and we've got it, right?
He was on The Ticket, which is a sports radio station in Denver. He was out there in conjunction with the University of Colorado, and he knows some of the folks on the staff out there. You know, they're Pac-12.
Former UCLA staff, I guess.
Yeah, and it's all the same conference now. What is it, the Pac-12, the Pac-16, whatever they call themselves.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up. And he's talking about
contract.
Which
he
was
asked about
story.
The contract,
right.
And here it is.
You know, it's a business side of football, and every player is a businessman, and you have to, you know, whatever you feel is what's best for you and your family, you have to do that sometimes. And so, like I said before, hopefully we can work on something and get something done. But like I said, I can't talk about it in the media because that's just not how I handle my
right.
I'd rather do it face-to-face. And then that's just what it is. You know, it's the side that we don't like about the football game. It's not Pop Warner anymore where it's just show up on Saturday mornings and have a good time. You know, in the off season, it's business. So that's just where we are right now.
Again, those are the comments from Maurice Jones-Drew on the CJ and Kreckman Show on The Ticket, which is a sports radio station in Denver, Logs.
Yeah, and is it wrong to say don't really want to talk about it or can't talk about it, but you kind of have talked about it?
Yeah.
And I'm okay with kind of his attitude in it. The only thing that I didn't really like in that particular paragraph, Maurice says that because I can't talk about it in the media because that's not how I handle my business. I'd rather do it face to face, and that's just what it is. You know, did his face show up in Jacksonville to let anybody know, you know, what was going on? You know, Mike Mularkey kind of didn't know.
Right.
General manager didn't know. I don't like that part.
No.
You know, and I'm a big believer in that there's a way to go about things and there's a way not to go about things. And I would have, in a perfect world, if I were guiding Maurice Jones-Drew, if I were his agent and Maurice was not happy with his contract, because I get that part of it, I would have encouraged him to and said, look, go to the veteran orientation camp. You've got a new coach. You've got a new staff. You're going to have some new teammates there. Meet them. Fit in. Get the game plan, you know, get the playbook so you can learn. And then the mandatory minicamp. Go there, be with your teammates, be with the guys. Because the real leverage is when you withhold your services when training camp starts. You know, that's the real true date that leverage begins. There's no leverage gained by not going to a veteran orientation camp. There's no leverage gained by not attending a mandatory minicamp. All that does, in my opinion, is create ill will. The true power for a player is to withhold services, and that begins at the start of training camp. Now, look, I know he's got 2 years left on a deal that paid him 5 years, $31 million. That's not a poor man's contract.
No.
You know, he's getting paid very well. So I understand the team side of it. I understand Maurice Jones-Drew's side of it. But I don't understand the approach that they have taken this offseason. It could have been handled better. And I think his agent did a poor job in handling it.
Can you tell from people you talk to around town, Maurice is obviously a fan favorite. Has been. I mean, he's been a tremendous guy off the field.
And for good reason.
Right, he's earned it. No, he has
absolutely
definitely earned it. My question is, does he still hold that standing? Or as we get closer to camp and he hasn't been here for any of it, does he lose some of that in the eyes of the fans?
I think all players lose.
That's real leverage.
All players lose some of that when it comes to, you know, having an issue with their contract, and then they're not here for things that many fans expect them to be here for.
Even when you have a huge reservoir of goodwill.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
You know, all players lose a lot of fans when it comes to contract.
Well,
because a lot of fans, you know, hey, they're going $31 million?
Yeah.
5 years? You're averaging over $6 million a year and you're not happy? You know, I get that.
Sure.
You know, and you're going to lose fans like that. And, hey, that's the risk that you take.
It's already shown in the calls I've taken. Last week when you guys brought it up, I took quite a few calls off the air. Not one of them were in favor. They all basically said, don't pay him. Don't give him any more money. And these are people that I recognize, that I know call regularly.
Well, and folks, there's a ton to love about Maurice Jones-Drew, and I've showed it on Jaguars All Access so many times that, you know, the real appreciation that I have for Maurice Jones-Drew is in the locker room, because he's a great guy. And then on top of that, the things that he can do with the ball in his hands are truly special. But more importantly, the things that he does when the ball is not in his hands. And I've showed it time and time again on the smart board on Jaguars All Access. Can we get another? Okay. They're just promoting the products that we're going to have coming up this fall. But I mean, he's a special player. But to me, if you're going to be a special player, and when you have a new direction with new ownership, new coaching staff, new players, there was a way to do it this offseason, and then there was a way not to do it, and I think he chose the wrong path.
Well, I forget who coined the term, but he was always the guy that said he played with the heart of a champion. And that's the thing about him that I admire the most.
No doubt.
And so I agree with you at this point. The thing that stuck in my memory was the face-to-face comment coming on the heels of the fact that he wasn't here. Mm-hmm. You can mend fences, and hopefully the two sides get together and get that done, and he doesn't miss any time. But that part about it, if people read the story correctly, probably caught their attention as well. Now, we have more from Maurice.
Well, let's do it on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Because we're screened for time, because then we can keep it fresh in people's minds.
Well, and here's the other thing. I've got a great story that was written this week by Mike Lombardi of the NFL Network and NFL.com about how teams are approaching the salary cap next year, because it was flat this year. It's going to be flat again next year. And there's a lot of things that teams have to take into account. So why don't we transition from Maurice and his contract into this story, and then we'll cover the other stuff in a little while. Right? Good with that?
Yeah.
And then we'll just work our way through that. If you've got a thought, feel free to weigh in. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Joe.
Season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer-A-Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more information or joining the Refer-A-Fan program, just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com. Check the traffic, check the weather, and more Jaguars this week right here on Jaguars Radio.
All right, welcome back, Jaguars, this week on a Wednesday evening. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato. You can join us as well, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. We are not on the air next Wednesday night. It is America's birthday.
Independence Day. Looking forward to it. Hopefully,
enjoy it like you do.
Since we got a lot of water, people won't be lighting things on fire.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Unintentionally.
I hope not. So, let's go back to the contract issue. And I was thinking of this as I was reading Mike Lombardi's story from earlier in the week. And he was talking about how the cap has pretty much stayed the same from last year to this year. It was $120,375,000. And this year it's gone to $120,600,000. Okay, so it hasn't gone up very much, a couple hundred thousand dollars. And the indications have been and still remain that it will be flat again next year. And so his point is...
And who is it? Robert Kraft has been saying that for...
Yeah, a couple years.
A year now.
Well, yeah, a little more than a year.
Yeah,
a little more than a year. So, he used this as an example, the Eagles, who are obviously a team that does a great job of managing their cap. But he says that the Eagles have a $3 million increase in Michael Vick's contract from this year to next, 12 to 13, and that one increase will likely be greater than the entire cap increase, which leaves Philly with decisions to make regarding which players to keep. So as people look at Maurice Jones-Drew and his contract, you have to realize that with a flat cap, it makes decisions more paramount. I don't want to say more important, but you've got to really look at it. And the reason
a lot of people would say, hey, Brian, the Jaguars have the most cap room of any team in the National Football League.
But they also have a young core of players who are all coming up on their first big contracts. So, Eugene Monroe is a guy whose name comes to mind. Who else needs a contract coming out of that? Terrence Knighton.
Derek Cox.
Derek Cox is a guy who's coming up.
Daryl Smith
is in the final year of his contract. So what you've got is a lot of guys who are going to need to be paid into the future. And so next year is a critical year because you can roll over the money that you don't spend. You can assign the money you don't spend in 12 to 13, and with a flat cap, that gives them the flexibility to not only sign their guys and their draft choices, but to also be able to play in free agency if that's an area of need. So when people go, well, look, you've got the money, why don't you spend it? Clearly, this column is instructive to people, and it's at NFL.com, as to why they're not just throwing the money out there. They've got a lot to consider.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is that, you is the principle of it. If you have a contract that has 2 years left on it and you redo it, then you set precedent. And I don't know where this is going. It could be a holdout, and I think a lot of that's going to depend on Maurice, and it could be a lengthy holdout. The thing that you don't want to see happen is all of a sudden, you get a week or two out from, an opening game, and it's all hypothetical because, we're a long way away from all this. But you wouldn't want to see him come in, a week or two before the game and then expect to play and hadn't had time to kind of acclimate the body. Much like Chris Johnson, and I'm not saying that Maurice is Chris Johnson, but you just don't want to have that risk for a marquee running back.
Adrian Peterson didn't hold out, but he did blow his knee out after getting the big deal. So let me go back to this column real quick, because in his analysis logs, Lombardi says that teams need to break its roster. A team needs to correctly break down its roster into what he says are three categories of players. Mm-hmm. The irreplaceable, the obvious stars who are uniquely talented with bright futures. The replaceables, players who have good talent but could be replaced by younger, less expensive options who can play at a similar level. And the projects, young backup players worthy of development, and they have friendly contracts. So here's my question, because we don't want to try and set the whole roster. There's too many guys. But who would fall into that irreplaceable category to you on this roster right now? I mean, clearly, you're looking at your young quarterback, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, a franchise quarterback is always irreplaceable. But one thing I think that I've learned in, boy, since 1989 of being a player and then following the league ever since, you know, I was done playing, is that nobody's irreplaceable.
Okay.
I mean, really, nobody is.
Well, what if we called them category 1, 2, and 3 then?
Yeah.
Guys that you really need to get done are category 1,
yeah,
that
I mean,
you really need to keep.
So you're talking about, to me, I don't like to use that term irreplaceable, core.
Okay.
I mean, who is your core?
Core.
You know, and if I look at it right now, you know, obviously Eugene Monroe, an Eben Britton, an Uche Nwaneri, those three guys up front. The young guard hasn't proven that he's going to be one of the core players yet. He's got to prove that. Mercedes Lewis is part of that core. Maurice Jones-Drew is part of that core. And I wouldn't put him into the stratosphere as being irreplaceable, because to me, if you have – somebody who is a marquee quarterback, you know, lights out quarterback, to me, that's what
it's all about. He's not Ben Roethlisberger.
He's the guy.
But he still falls into that frontline category.
And Blaine's got to prove that he's into that, you know, into that core. Right. I mean, this is a big year for him. And the next year after that will be a big year for him.
How about the other side of the ball?
Derek Cox, Terrence Knighton, Tyson Alualu, Daryl Smith, Paul Posluszny, and I think Dwight Lowry and Dwan Landry. I'd put both of them in there. Rasheen, yeah, he's kind of close to it, but, you know, he's getting older.
Right.
You know, so.
So of those guys who need a contract, Daryl Smith needs a contract, Derek Cox needs a contract, Terrence Knighton needs a contract, and you're talking about, you just gave Charles, I keep wanting to call him Charles, Jeremy Mincy a contract.
Mm-hmm.
He just got one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Tyson Alualu, who's going to have a chance here to prove that he belongs in that, as in terms of a core guy.
Sure.
So you got a lot of guys that you have to
You got a lot of guys to think about, you know, going forward. And, you know, does that change your thinking and your approach to Maurice? I don't know, you know, because if it's a matter of we don't want to establish a precedent, then no. It has nothing to do with, you know, we've got to look in the future. But obviously looking in the future always comes into your thought process. But I think if this is a matter of precedent, and Maurice can be very stubborn, and I'm okay with that. It's his right to be stubborn. And if the Jaguars can be stubborn on this, you wouldn't want to see this kind of happen, because then it's going to be one of those things where it takes the emphasis off of where you want it to be, and that's, you know, just developing your team and getting better. And it becomes the Brett Favre kind of situation, obviously not to that degree,
sure,
on a national scale. But for this town, everybody would want to know, you know, minute-to-minute updates on where are they at, what's going on.
How much camp could he afford to miss being a veteran running back coming off of a season in which he carried the ball 343 times? Because he wasn't here for the offseason, would you say none?
I mean, to me, he's got to – I mean, to me, you'd want to have him in here no later than – after the first game.
Okay.
And that's still not a lot.
Right.
You know, because he hadn't had anything in the offseason. He doesn't know the offensive system yet. You know, so that's why I think that if you were here for the veteran orientation camp, here for the mini camp, learn the system, then you could, you know, then your leverage begins with getting close to the regular season anyway.
All right, we've hit the bottom of the hour, which means the folks over at WOKV have the news. But first, here's Joe.
Well, that's right. This portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Football Fanatics, the award-winning WOKV newsroom, our flagship station.
All right, here we go. About 23 minutes left in the program. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman with you on the last Wednesday night of June. And we won't be back for 2 weeks because we, like you, We'll be enjoying Independence Day with our family and friends next week. And, Joe, I imagine you will be as well.
I will.
Will you be with the Philadelphia Phillies in South Florida? Is that next week?
I will be with the Philadelphia Phillies this weekend.
Okay. But you'll be back here.
On.
All right.
You're rooting for the Marlins?
Yes. Right. In total awe of what is the... You said you've seen this
I've
building.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it from the rooftop of the Marriott Biscayne Bay there.
So is it just a blob?
You know, people used to talk about the stadium in Dallas.
I hear it's pretty nice.
It's unbelievable, but it looks like it. It's where the old Orange Bowl was, so you got an uncontested view there from Biscayne Bay. And, I mean, it looks like someone put a huge white crock pot down in the middle of Miami.
South Florida's not for me, but I'd love to see that baseball stadium. I hear it's really nice.
Cuban cooking. That bet smells good in that crock pot.
Well, I don't doubt it. I haven't been there. I saw it in January before it was completely completed, if that makes any sense. Okay, so we were talking about Maurice. Actually, we've been talking about Maurice the whole time. But he also had some comments with respect to Emmett Smith and Emmett's record. You want to touch on those? You want to hear them?
Yeah, I want to hear from Maurice because he was asked the question, you know, do you think that you could break, obviously, Emmett Smith's, which is the all-time rushing record in the NFL, and here's his response.
Yeah, I think it's doable. I definitely think it's doable. Once again, Emmitt Smith was in a different situation than a lot of us, though. I mean, he had a Hall of Fame receiver, Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame offensive line, Hall of Fame fullback. I mean, whoever put that team together did a heck of a job. And it just showed. Everybody, they made plays from Emmitt on. And so he was, and now don't get me wrong, he was the reason they won. But he had a lot of guys around him as well.
He was a huge part of the reason why they won.
He was a part.
Yep. They had a pretty good quarterback, and they had a Hall of Fame receiver and a great defense. But
had a great team.
Yeah, they were.
They had a great team, very talented team.
You look how many guys they
lost.
It
wasn't about Emmitt.
From the 93. The 92 team was intact for 93, and that's when free agency came in. And just look at the names of guys who left in free agency right after that, and you realize just what they built there with Jimmy Johnson in the early 1990s. You weigh in on this first. I've got a couple of distinct thoughts.
Well, I think the approach here is that when you get asked, could you break, you know, what many view as the greatest running back in NFL history because of the number, and that's the number of rushing yards it's the greatest that the league has. I think the better way to approach that would have been, I don't know. You know, you've got to have a great combination of team success and health and all that to do that, so time will tell. Be a good answer. But I think there was two things there. One, it kind of makes it about you, but you're still, you know, slightly under 12,000 yards away from getting close to Emmitt Smith. That's a long way, and it's a little early for that conversation to happen. But here's where I kind of get somewhat concerned is that, you know, hey, well, Emmitt had Hall of Fame offensive line. He had Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame wide receiver. Some of your teammates may take that the wrong way, and that you're saying, well, hey, he had that and I don't. You know, and he didn't say that, but he said that a little later on, he said that, I want to say, not all of us have had what he had, I think is a proper way to say
right.
it. So teammates could take that as a slight. And you don't ever want to risk alienating or offending your teammates by saying that they're not as good as that. Just a thought.
You know, my thought is you've got to have 18,356 yards to beat Emmitt Smith's record. And in a league where the rushing game has taken a firm seat behind the passing attack, beating that record might be impossible. And I never like to think of that because people thought Walter Payton's record.
Everything is doable.
Oh, well, sure.
Okay.
Mean, could you get it? Yeah, but in today's
Brian,
day and age.
Brian, you got to have a great team. You got to have a great.
Stop right there, and it's a good answer. Stop right there.
You got to have
answer.
Great health. You have to be fortunate. You have to have a lot of things fall into place. Is it possible? Sure it is. But it's not something I think about. That's the answer you want to hear.
Do you suppose that because he has been on his own this offseason, he's not been around his
Maurice
teammates?
Maurice loves to talk.
Well, I know he does. You can't
And he's him. A great talker. He's one of our all-time
talker.
Great guests that we have on our TV show, Jaguars All Access. He may get mad at me for saying the things that I've said today and be mad at me. And I'm okay with that because, I mean, in this business you have to have an opinion. Maurice has an opinion.
Right.
And if I were the one that were advising him, I think there would have been a better way to approach this offseason. There would have been a better way to approach that question on radio.
You said he needs 12,000 more yards?
Slightly under 12.
Well, that means it's going to take 1,700 yards for the next 7 years, a season?
Well, and I think that when you talk about, you know, you were asking earlier about could Maurice lose, you know, some fans because of this whole situation. I think the more that you're heard when you have the stance that Maurice has, the more people will fall off the train, so to speak.
Okay.
It's better just in this situation is to not be seen and not be heard.
Well, and I think that what a point you made earlier, you know, the good faith, the leverage you gain by being in camp, being around your team and showing that you're committed, I think there's another element to that as well. And I think that's he's out on an island right now, and he's feeling a little unhappy with the organization for the way that they're approaching his contract. And so I'm sure he thinks about what he says, don't get me wrong. But when you hear that in his voice, that's because he's been sitting out on the West Coast stewing about the fact that no one will step forward and, quote-unquote, reward him. So the fact that he's sitting out there away from his team is hurting him because his mouth is running now.
I'm going to stick by what I said. I really believe should have been here for the veteran orientation camp and should have been here for the mandatory mini camp. Express your displeasure in a face-to-face manner why you were here for those. And then utilize the only leverage that you would have, and that's by refusing to offer your services for the contract that you have.
Right.
And that's the only time that really matters anyway. You know, so and I think he could have built up goodwill and could have had more positive thoughts about him if he had done those two things, veteran orientation camp and mini camp. And hey, look, people say, well, you know, did you talk to coaches or did you talk to the general manager about no that my opinion
yeah
in my opinion only
well I'll say this and Maurice Jones-Drew has been driven by people's doubts of him. I mean, all the way back to college, everyone thought he was too short, wasn't going to last that long, and clearly what he did last year was magnificent. I mean, on the bad knee, playing the whole year with a team that couldn't throw the ball, still leading the league in rushing. So I don't want to say he can't beat Emmitt Smith's record, but let's face it, this team is focused on its passing attack. The league is focused on the passing game, and to do that would be to stay in the here and the now, or I'm sorry, the past, and this team be focused on the ground game, and I just don't see that happening.
I still that the to me, you know, you got to have great fortune, you got to have a great team.
Yes.
That's the way to answer that.
You know, that was the way he would have answered it when Fred was around.
Well, and you know when he was on the NFL Network for the top 100 players in the National Football League,
12.
I thought he did a pretty good job with that because he gave a lot of credit to his offensive line, Mercedes Lewis. He talked about Blaine Gabbert in positive light and said, you know, there's a lot of things that went on that people can't understand. I thought he was wonderful, you know, with that. And then this interview that he did in Colorado, boy, I wish he could have had some of them statements back.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make me mad at Maurice or anything like that. Hey,
right.
Look, you know, we all make mistakes. I mean, heck, in today's day and age, if you, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, if you'd done an interview in Colorado about your situation, nobody would have heard it.
Right.
You know, it would have just went on.
Now we find it on YouTube.
Yeah, now you go online and it's everywhere.
Get
people are going to read it.
And,
you know, the newspaper, the local newspaper is going to pick it up because you haven't talked to any of them. They're going to pick it up and they're going to run your quotes.
Right.
And that's just the way it is.
Say it again. I think that if he had been here, because when Maurice is here, he is generally a team-first guy all the way. And being out there on his own, I guess he can't help but have that be reflected in his comments.
Well, I just know he's a fantastic player, and on game day, the guy brings it time in and time again. And, you know, I'm hoping that we're not going to be talking about this, you know, going into the preseason games, you know, because I did just – it's not what you want.
Nope.
But, you know, if he were here for the two camps that I talked about.
We wouldn't be talking about it now.
Veteran orientation camp and the mini camp. Wouldn't he be a conversation right now? But his displeasure could still be known.
Sure.
And the point where the true leverage is still there to be taken advantage of. And the other thing is that if he were to use that leverage and not come to training camp, then you'd feel better about getting him back at some point because he was here for the camps, he knew the system, he practiced reps in it and everything, whereas now, you know, the more he's not here at started training camp, then that's not good for him.
All right, folks, we need a break. We'll take it now, come back with another segment of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. and we'll send it to you, Joe.
Thank you, Mr. Sexton. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. More Jaguars this week coming up right here on Jaguars Radio.
All right, welcome back. One segment left, Jaguars this week, about 9.5 minutes for you to weigh in, to invect your opinion with us. And we'll go with Chris, who joins us from Lakeland. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. Great to hear you on a Wednesday evening. I'm just calling for my yearly begging to Jeff to do something about Jacksonville Jaguars All Access being available to all. When do we get to see it?
Well, because Chris, because you don't get, obviously, CBS 47 in Lakeland, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
But it's using NFL film, and you've got an NFL website, and I wonder why there's a problem.
Well, we're looking this year to put all of the Jaguars programming shows on Jaguars.com. We're also looking at expanding the SmartBorg segment to where we have those on the Jaguars.com website as well. So stay tuned. I think you're going to be very impressed with what we're going to be doing this year with all of the Jaguars programming and the website.
And I'll tell you, the reason that it's been a problem and they've had to work through it is that the NFL owns all that footage, all of it. And when it comes to what they're protecting, well, hold on a sec, just so everyone who's listening understands, that show, All Access, is limited to the number of minutes of video that we can show, 6 minutes. So you'd think, well, why can't you show this and this and this, and why can't you run it on the Internet? Because when they started the NFL Network, and that includes the NFL Internet Network, they took control of all of it, and they regulate what a team can do.
And Chris...
a team can do, not a station.
The NFL is a collection of 31 individual teams, and 32, excuse me, and it's about time...
Other.
Well, 31 other ones in here is what I was thinking, and it just...
Nobody counts Buffalo.
But you know,
you said that.
It's about time that the members say, hey, look, you know, we got to do what we've got to do to make our fans more rabid, et cetera. So, Chris, stay tuned. And this year, I think things will be different. And if they're not, call me up and complain very loudly.
Very good. Looking forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. We're looking to do, like, for example, on the Monday show, Jaguars All Access, we'll do the show and then do the smart board segment, and then basically say, hey, look, you know, we're going to be doing another one of these. And then what I'll do is after the show, record one to tape, and then we can put it on the website, and then obviously that be available
to
the website.
Drive folks to go see
and
something
And then people
else.
That watch that on the website will say, hey, look, you know, tune in next week to Jaguars All Access on CBS 47 to watch the latest issue of...
You're making my head just ring with that thing.
So anyway...
I'm getting kind of sick of this myself. We may have to...
But anyway, we're looking to do some things, and we're looking at having some... web-based features, programming stuff, you know?
Well, you know, the point is made, but if you go back and you, just look at ESPN, right? I mean, wasn't there their Sunday night show at 7 o'clock? I mean, I can't remember the name of that. Sunday Night Countdown? What was it?
Countdown, yeah, Sunday Night.
Yeah, I mean, all the high, now they call it the Blitz, and they do it in little segments.
Yeah.
Because NBC paid for the rights
for
all that
footage. Yeah, they can't show footage.
So they can't do that breakdown show that they used to do following the 4 o'clock games.
And it's a shame because...
It was the best.
Because... to me, ESPN, some of the guys that they have in studio were fantastic, whereas on the guys on NBC, I'm not a big fan of them.
No.
I'm not a fan of Tony Dungy. I'm okay with Rodney Harrison.
No, I'm not big on Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick, no. I mean, get some people in there and know what they're talking
about. You might
about.
Be losing Berman on some of those shows now because he's going into the booth now for the games.
Yeah, but I think it's just for the doubleheader, that one doubleheader for ESPN.
He's going to the West Coast to do it. Remember, they had Mike and Mike do it for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So they've always protected the video, and this team has been like a lot of others, and they have followed the rules.
Time to break the rules.
Well, I agree with you because that's just my mentality. But they follow the rules because they're one of 32 partners in the NFL Network, and it has been bleeding red ink for years. And it's TV is an expensive business. So what they did was they protected all the rights so that if you wanted to see the most video, I mean, it's why they do this All 22 channel now. If you want to see the most, you've got to go to them.
Tell people about that. That's pretty neat and that you can pay.
I don't know what the rate is.
I think it's either I'm thinking $69 is my guess.
For a year.
Which is $70.
That's $69. If you're a hardcore fan.
And you get access to the All 22 coaches film. from a game. And I don't know how that's going to work, you know, where it's going to be available. I'm sure DirecTV, I'm assuming.
I'm looking right now. The Wall Street Journal has a story about it. And I'm trying. I have not seen a whole lot of it. And who's going to, you know, I mean, who's going to break it down for people?
Me. But they can watch Monday night.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Go to Jaguars.
On an all 22 channel. Who's going to, I mean, because let's be honest, most fans are going to miss.
Is it live and all 22 live? Is that what that is? Or is it like a recorded thing? I thought it was going to be like a recorded thing where you could go back and watch it at any time.
I've got to do a little more homework on that one. My thought is that there's sitting and watching it with you like I have all these years. I mean, I miss so much, and I know the game.
Yeah.
And I miss so many little things. And unless you can have the clicker and go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and really study it, how much value is there to... Here's what it does,
though. Not much.
You get a lot of people who are going to call up radio shows or on the internet.
They're going to be experts.
And they are going to argue, did you see this out? But for what it's worth, it creates talk about the NFL and interest. Yeah, we'll see how far it goes.
Some things aren't hard to see, but I'll be honest with you, Brian, and you've seen it many times, is where something happens with a defensive coverage that I don't understand.
Right.
And not because I don't understand what the coverage is, it's because I don't know the exact coverage, because there are so many variations of coverage that the complexity of defensive coverages is pretty long. And so I have to get the specific coverage and the responsibilities to know who was supposed to do what. You know, very few times can you look at the film and say, oh, that's cover two, that's cover one, that's cover zero, that's cover four, that's cover five, that's cover three. It's hard to do that because they play a lot of different things to where they react within those coverages differently to alignments and routes. And so
it's $70. I found a story about it. It's $70, and it's part of the Game Rewind package on its website. They'll be able to watch football from the most insightful, telling angle available. It doesn't say...
And nobody's going to be talking to them either.
No, and that's the hard part is that, I mean... The most knowledgeable of football fans are probably, I mean, you have to be a coach, you know, or a former player to really understand all of it that's going on.
But even some coaches can watch film and have an idea, but don't know exactly how they're like playing a coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, you can understand the routes and all of that kind of stuff.
I know you go talk to coaches and players and try to ferret it out.
Yeah, sometimes you have to. I mean, you can, because the last thing you want to do is, like, for example, when we do that all 22 or whatever, I don't want to be inaccurate. But you don't ever want to be inaccurate.
Right.
You know, so sometimes you got to ask the question and do a little research. And, you know, so you watch it and you get an impression, but then you have to confirm it. You got to make sure.
You know, the thing is they'll make a killing on this because everything they
make
do.
Money.
Everything they do.
It's $70, right? I think when they first came out with it, they were going to say, they said it was going to be 60, and then they quickly changed their tune on that and made it $70. And there's going to be a lot of people that watch it. I mean, there's a lot of hardcore folks. You know, they're going to want to watch their team in an all 22 shot on rewind.
And it changed because last fall there was some talk about this, and as most recently as November, it was thought that was not going to happen anytime soon. It was the proprietary property of NFL coaches.
Hey, if you can make money doing it,
they will.
You do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, the NFL's a business, and that's what they're doing. Yeah, and right. As I said, it drives the interest in the game. So
it's going to make Joe Fortunato even an expert when it comes to game film nowadays.
Oh, then somebody better be explaining.
With a capital E.
A capital E.
Enjoy Independence Day. You all with your families as well.
OKV FM, Ponte Vedra Beach. Yeah.